This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And they've got talent here to talk about the Orioles, the division, and everything in between. From the Baltimore Sun, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Matt Weirich. Matt, what is up? Happy opening day to you.
Hey, fellas. How we doing?
Doing all right. And we'll start with tomorrow. Get right to it. Opening day. Gunner's on the IL. Looks like Holiday is going to be the starting shortstop. Mateo's still in Florida. Roster doesn't have to be set until noon tomorrow. So where's Levant Soto fit in? Did Mateo do enough to prove that he's healthy? Did he hit enough to earn a spot here? How's that infield situation going to look tomorrow throughout Rogers Center and then to Boston next week when they come here?
Yeah, today is going to be telling. The Orioles have a workout at the Rogers Center this afternoon, and we'll see if Jorge Mateo has made the trip up. I think that could be a determining factor here. Obviously, him and Levon Soto are kind of the last two guys down to that final roster spot, so wholly dependent on Mateo's ability to get into game shape. You know, the Orioles use him in a lot of different ways, and they want to be able to do so without any kind of injury restrictions. So if he's not ready, he'll begin the year on the IL with Soto there on the bench. But it does look like that Holiday, regardless, will probably be your opening day shortstop with Jordan Westberg at second and Ramon Arias at third. We maybe see Mateo in the lineup, but even if he is activated, I have a sense that he probably will get eased in. But, you know, certainly a lot of options on the table here.
Now, with Jackson Holiday offensively, struggled mightily in 2024. We all watched the games, light years from where he was at the minor league level where it was slow pitch softball for him. How different did he look confidence-wise, approach-wise at the plate as he hit over 300? He was getting on base. He was stealing bases. What's the offensive confidence level for him as you go amateur psychiatrist Matt Weirich?
Yeah, I think the confidence is definitely way up. You can see it in him. He just feels more comfortable, not maybe doing everything for the first time this time around. You know, I think that having the opportunity to come to the majors last year and struggle is something that he was able to take a lot from. And ultimately, after making a lot of tweaks to his swing over the offseason, he went into the winter with a plan and was able to execute that plan and now is kind of moving forward with it and not having to make as many adjustments, especially with the toe tap and everything that he has going on and what is a bit of a complicated swing. So, you know, last spring, he obviously hit the ball really well. It was a lot of power, but I think it's a lot more telling that the strikeouts are way down. He's stealing bases. This looks like the kind of Jackson Holiday that we were expecting to see at the major league level. And I'm interested to see how that translates to the regular season.
Now, with the Orioles as a team offensively, as you know, Matt, you cover them on a daily basis. Midway through June, late June, they were arguably the best offense in all of baseball. Then the second half, they were kind of the exact opposite in a lot of categories. The runners with scoring position, the K's were up. A lot of bad things were going on. Well, Gunnar's not going to start the year. Santander will be playing against them tomorrow. They brought in O'Neill. Rutschman had a great spring. Same with Kowser, Mountcastle as well. What's the offensive ceiling for this team as you see it and saw it up close and personal down in Florida?
Well, obviously getting Gunnar Henderson back into the lineup as quickly as possible is priority number one. He's their MVP candidate, their best hitter, one of their best base runners, brings a lot of power potential to the plate and hits in the leadoff spot, so he gets up to the plate more than anybody else. So for all those reasons, they need Henderson in the lineup for this group to reach his full potential. But I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this lineup. You know, second most runs scored in the majors last season, and they can be even better. Yes, they lost Anthony Santander, but, you know, bringing in Tyler O'Neill, having Heston Kjerstad get more at-bats, seeing potentially improvements from Ryan Mountcastle with the wall being moved in, maybe Colton Kowser taking a step forward in his second season, Jordan Westberg getting more comfortable, Adley Rutschman bouncing back. There's a lot of ways that this lineup can take a step forward, and I think that the potential, we haven't truly seen it yet, as these guys continue to get more years in the majors, get into the primes of their careers. You know, there certainly is room. You know, obviously the lineup has been the talk, the rotation has been the talk all offseason, and just how much equipped it is to make a deep postseason run. But there is plenty of reason to believe that this offense can carry them to a strong season. And really, you know, maybe they have to lean on it more than ever.
Great minds think alike. Speaking of the rotation, we know Grayson's not going to be part of it anytime soon. And I guess Kyle Gibson perhaps could be there early May. But Cade Povich pitched well in September, pitched great throughout the spring. What's the optimism level for this guy? He's added a new pitch to the arsenal. It's one of them new names to a pitch that people have been throwing for 100 years, which I can't think of right now, Matt Weirich. But Cade Povich, the Bob Haney optimism level is pretty high, but then again, I'm usually wrong.
Yeah, no, I feel the optimism too. The kick changeup, as you alluded to,
there you go.
Is that new addition to the arsenal. We saw in September what Cade Povich can do when he puts it all together. His strikeout numbers in the minor leagues were very strong, and it's something that as you get more comfortable in the majors, you expect to be on the uptick. So I see a lot of reasons to be excited about Povich. Obviously, being a left-hander, I think gives him a bit of a leg up as well. And just to stick in the rotation, he's going to have to fend off Kyle Gibson. Likely, he's probably the candidate to be knocked out once Gibson is ready to return around May 1st. But at the same time, you know, it's up to Povich now to show that he isn't the one who needs to be bumped, and maybe to force the Orioles to make some tough decisions. So he'll get the home opener, and I'm excited to see what he does with it.
You think that they are slow playing Gunnar, and do you anticipate him being back next Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting lots of at-bats down in Sarasota right now. He obviously was already kind of in game shape, not coming off of a major injury in spring. So I think that for right now, they're taking things cautious. I would expect him to come back as soon as he's eligible. It sounds like he was pretty close when they had to make the call to put him on the IL. But ultimately, you know, I think that they're looking at it like it's March, not October, and you know, moving forward, they're going to have him back pretty soon.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun. Orioles start tomorrow in Toronto against the Blue Jays. Look, we all think the Orioles are going to win 110 games, and we'll save that as the season rolls along. What do you think of Toronto, though? Maybe the biggest disappointment in baseball last year.
Yeah, I mean, the AL East is so tough, and somebody has to bottom out in that fifth place spot. And last year, it ended up being Toronto. Dealt with some injuries for sure, ended up selling at the deadline, which I think tanked their overall win total a little bit, you know, getting Kikuchi out of there. Bo Bichette dealt with a lot of injuries and really wasn't himself when healthy. He's someone I expect to bounce back year from. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., obviously, he's in a walk year. They bring in Max Scherzer, they bring in Anthony Santander, some notable additions. Jeff Hoffman there now is the closer at the back end of the bullpen. So it's definitely a team that I think can be competitive in the AL East. I think any of the five teams can be competitive, and you know, we'll see where things stand here in a couple of months, because you know, it's anyone's guess really right now which team comes out on top.